Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, welcome to the show, because this show is for you and it's about you. Those of you that work so freaking hard for your money, you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom. You want that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, right? You want it right now. So you can have that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But more importantly, it's not just about creating this life of comfort and ease, but it's about creating a ripple effect through the lives of others, because as you're blessed financially, you can bless the lives of others too. So guys, thanks for joining. Thanks for allowing me to create that ripple effect through you, because I love seeing you guys have been binging and sharing and really just keep growing this community, which I so enjoy. I'm so grateful for, because that is why I'm here coming out of retirement in semi-retired mode teaching you today. So thanks so much. Quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You can also check out our YouTube channel, which is Money Ripples with Chris Miles. You can check that out as well, so, and get all those videos and all the great content there. So check it out.
Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out.
All right, today, guys, I got a special guest for you. This is a guy I've known for years, respected. I follow him myself. Someone that actually like really gets it, especially if you're in the coaching space, if you're in the space of really as an entrepreneur in general, and you want to see what the trends that are coming up and everything that's happening, right? Because let's admit it, 2020 sucked. And now we're looking at 2021. And really, it's just more of the same thing, right? It's some people think, hey, once we hit the new year, it'll be fine. Well, guess what? It was the same old crap, wasn't it? And that's exactly what we're seeing in 2021 right now. And this guy, Mark Mahoney, is like the epitome of the guys that follow. If you're a Facebook, for one, he's got the Natural Born Coaches or the Coaching Jungle. He's got the Natural Born Coaches podcast. He also has the Coaching Jungle on Facebook that you can follow as well. He's got over 20,000 members in that group. And so excited to have Mark on today, coming in from Canada. How you doing, Mark?
I am doing good. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So we did an episode several years ago. It's probably buried a few hundred episodes back. So give us a refresher about who you are, what you did. I know you even were in real estate for a while. Give us some of that backstory.
It's always tough because I have to remember which jokes I told, so I'm not telling the same lame jokes. I should have listened to the old one. my background in the nutshell, I spent about 10 years in real estate right out of university. Built up a big real estate business here in Canada, had about 100 employees, several offices, and everything came crashing down in a blaze of glory, or not glory, infamy, I guess. There you go. So I went through a dark period where I went through not one, but two business closures in a couple of years. And I always say it was my trek through the wilderness, you know, not literally, but I was helped back to my feet by a couple different coaches and mentors. And when I was ready to get back into business, I said, screw real estate. I'm done with that. Been there, did it, done it, got the t-shirt. But coaching was interesting because I had a front row seat to see how coaches could help people, because they literally saved my life. And I said, I'm going to start a coaching business. And that was early 2014. And now getting close to celebrating 7 years in the coaching world. So that's it in a nutshell, my life in a minute.
And you really are like the coach to all coaches, aren't you?
Well, that's who I help is, I know it's got a dirty word. It's a dirty word. Coach is coach. I saw a post recently where somebody said on Facebook, those are coaches are lower than pond scum. And I thought, wow, I've been in real estate. I'm interested in politics and I've never been called pond scum, but there we go.
So welcome to my group, right?
Yeah. but the way that I was working with a number of people early on, and I had several clients who were non-coaches, and not to knock them, you know, but I had several clients that were coaches. I had a lot more fun with the coaches and just seemed to gel a little bit better. And I said, you know, it's stupid to try to work with everybody. I love entrepreneurs. I would love to help all entrepreneurs. You know, I think entrepreneurs get crapped on a lot and they don't get the credit they deserve. But I said, I'm going to narrow my focus and help coaches because that's who I'm doing really well with. So even to this day, any referrals I get for other types of entrepreneurs, I send them off to business coaches that can help them. Sure. I don't dabble, you know, so I had someone reach out to me a while back that owns a number of psychiatric clinics. And he stumbled on my podcast. I don't know how, but he said, can you help me out, Mark? I said, look, I'm not your guy. I only work with coaches. However, I know someone that can help you. And I referred him off and everyone's happy.
That's awesome. So which industries do you tend to work with the most within the coaching realm?
You know, it's a broad range. I've had clients who have been health coaches, relationship coaches, sales coaches, business coaches, life coaches. I find a lot of times life coaches, their heart's in the right place, but it's tough to get traction as a life coach. The numbers are not great for the average earnings for life coaches. So I've helped a lot of life coaches. When I look at the people I'm currently helping in my mastermind, for example, I've got several men's coaches, you know, those who are in the men's world, helping them specifically. I have someone in there who's a content creation type coach as well. One that's more a local bricks and mortar business coach in North Carolina. And then I have one that's, you could even say three that are men's coaches, the way that it's working out. So it's right across the board. Just like my podcast, it's a broad range of coaching niches that I've interviewed there for guests.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you got your finger on the pulse, right? Like you're seeing what's happening real time. You're not like somebody who's just standing up on stage talking about stuff that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago, right? Especially in the current environment, right? Because the world's burning still. The 2020 is just a decade now for us. It's becoming a decade.
Yeah.
You know, tell us, like, what are some things you're noticing? Like, what are you seeing as a trend? Or, like, where are people having a hard time pivoting or making the adjustment?
Well, I actually just talked about this in the year-end issue for my hard copy newsletter. Looked at what's going on in the coaching world, my predictions for 2021 and beyond. And what I said in there is I think there's going to be an emphasis or a need for people who are selling not just the sizzle, but the steak. You know what the online world is? There's a lot of bullshitters. Big promises. They've been called douchepreneurs, which I think probably fits for a lot of them. Or douche canoes. No, douchepreneurs, you know, and we've all seen them. You know, they're standing in front of the rented Lambos and the mansions, the yachts, and hey, you can make seven figures in a month from your hot tub working 5 minutes a day. And I think that now the market is much more sophisticated. There's still people that will fall for that, but I do think that the consumers are much smarter and they're going to want some more steak with that sizzle. If you can't deliver that, you'll get one sale, but you're not going to get future sales. So that's one thing that I'm seeing out there. I think there's also going to be a need for mastery. And when I say mastery, a lot of coaches right now are dabbling. They're saying, well, I'm okay at this, but they're bouncing around to a bunch of different things. I think that it's going to be important to really close off social media, turn your notifications off your phone, put your phone in the drawer, and actually do some deep thinking around things. So a good example for me is copywriting. You know, for years I thought, I'm a good copywriter, I write daily emails, and you know, I like to think I'm a good writer. But recently I said, you know, I could do better with copywriting. So I started really diving into the old time greats, you know, the old timers that are super smart, their stuff's lasted for many decades. And I'm doing things like every day rewriting successful headlines for ads and direct mail pieces. I'm writing bullet points, like copying them over and over again. And it's not always the most exciting thing, to be honest, but it's doing that every single day. And that's part of the mastery thing, is really focusing and diving deep into stuff. So I think that's going to be really important for coaches. I admire you because you're on Facebook very little, but you do what you have to do and then you get out. And I know you're working, you know, 10 or 20 hours a week, which I wish I could get to, but, you know, I think that's important, is not waste your days on Facebook, but actually master something, like do the hard stuff to become really, really good at something.
It's true. Like that was the one problem I had is when I first started on coaching, I was like, hey, you need that? Yeah, I'll do that. You need that? Yeah, I'll do that. And I had the weakness where I'm like the jack of all trades, but master of none. Like I had that issue, especially early on in my career. But then I realized as time went on, it's like, you know, do I like that? You know, now when people say, hey, will you look over P&Ls in my business? I'm like, I can, and I've got the ability to do it, but I just don't want to. But if you talk to me, like I've got money sitting around, can I do something with it? Yes. Like there's all kinds of fun stuff we can do. And then I light up. Right. And so I've noticed your mastery tends to follow your passion.
Yeah. It's a better way to do it the way that you're doing it. So it's tough to turn away money. Like if somebody approaches you and they want to pay you for something that you hate doing, but you get the money right in your face.
Right.
It's like me years ago, I started my podcast in 2014. I've done like 700 episodes. So I know I have a good system in place for running a podcast. And I used to help people with podcast launches. I had a 1 month, 4 weekly call program where I would basically show them exactly how to do it. And I probably helped 30, 35 hosts launch their shows. But I don't advertise that anymore because it was muddying the waters. People, I had someone say to me once, and actually happened a couple times, so someone said to me, oh, I thought you were a podcast coach, Mark. I'm like, no, I'm not a podcast coach. So it's tough now because I get people approaching me like, hey, can you help me launch a show? And I'm like, oh, there's a quick money. That'd be great, you know, with it. But that's not my, it's not my passion. I'm not bouncing out of bed this morning saying, hey, I want to help people launch shows, even though I can do it very well. So I think what you said is very important. You have to enjoy what you're doing, and you have to, sometimes it's tough, but you have to say no to money that's being waved right in your face.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a Star Wars fan. It's like being typecast, right?
It's
exactly. Like crap. You can't get him to be
Mark Hamill.
Exactly. I was going to say Mark Hamill, right? He's like always had to be Skywalker, you know, and then he had to become a voice actor instead.
Yeah, so people wouldn't see him.
Yeah,
but I do think he gets crapped on a lot, but I give him credit for what he's done with the Joker voice and other stuff. He's actually done really well in a certain niche there. Carrie Fisher, I think, probably made out worse with it.
That's true.
But Mark Hamill's on an episode of The Simpsons, so he's doing okay.
That's right. He can live on, you know.
I remember Homer carrying him out. It was like the bodyguard where Homer's carrying him out of the convention of angry nerds, and they're trying to get at him. And yeah. He forgets his lightsaber. He's got to go back for his lightsaber.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Oh man. So, definitely, like you said, like we got to have the steak with a sizzle, right? That's a big one for sure. You know, what else are you seeing? Like, what are some things that can give people an edge, like at this time right now?
Well, I think you have to be unique. Mm-hmm. And I think that was always a selling point, if you can stand out from the crowd, but there are so many carbon copy people in the coaching and the online space. So when you do something different, you stand out like a sore thumb. So one thing I do, you mentioned Star Wars. I like to work in pop culture references, things to my emails. You know, I'm a Star Wars fan, although I'm not a fan of what Disney did with the newer trilogy, but don't get me started. I'm the original trilogy fan and stuff. Mandalorian's okay. You know, I like superhero films.
Yeah.
There's comic book references, stuff like that. And I have a dry sense of humor. So I work that into my content creation. If someone tried to copy off that, it would be pretty obvious if they sounded like me with it. So I think it's going to be really important to be unique and just be yourself. I know authenticity, it's a buzzword nowadays when people hear it, like, oh God, you know, but there's definitely something to it. I try and take the approach. I'll say one of my favorite movies, it's a movie that not a lot of people know about. I think it's very applicable to business. It's Bullworth with Warren Beatty. Did you ever see that one back in the 90s?
A long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It was back in the 90s and around Bill Clinton's years. And in the movie, you know, make a long story short, he's a disillusioned California senator who's up for re-election. It's the final weekend of his campaign. He's just burnt out. He's tired of the lobbyists, people buying politicians, having to just bullshit and lie for votes and stuff. So he's going to commit suicide. But if he commits suicide, his daughter won't get the insurance policy. So he hires an assassin to kill him because he's like, well, I'm going to die anyways. I'll just get someone to assassinate me. That way the insurance gets paid out. So he's like, well, it's my final weekend on the trail. I might as well just say what's on my mind because I'm going to be dead soon. So he starts doing that very unpolitician-like thing where he just speaks the truth. He's basically Trump before Trump, you know.
Became Trump,
Basically, I think Trump was probably inspired by Bulworth. I think even Obama talked about going Bulworth in his final few years where, you know, before he became lame duck, he said he thought, I'll just do a Bulworth thing. Never did it, but he talked about it. So with the movie, he basically just starts speak the truth and becomes a cessation. People are, oh my God, this is so refreshing. Cause he's like at a church once. They're like, why haven't you done this and that? And he's like, well, you don't donate enough money to me. Why would I, you know, basically, but by speaking the truth and his poll numbers shoot up, he becomes this favorite with it. And all of a sudden he falls in love too. And he doesn't want to die. So the whole movie is him trying to now escape the assassin because he doesn't want to die. Right. But I always remember the movie Bulworth because I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to be the Bulworth in the coaching world and say what, you know, should be said that most people don't say with it. And I think that candor is refreshing. And I encourage people to do that as well, because there's so many bullshit artists or people who just play in the what I call the mushy middle in the online space. They don't want to offend anybody. And then they just play it safe and it's boring. So open it up a little bit, speak your mind, take the filter off.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, you might be naturally controversial. Well, then be controversial. If you're naturally a peacemaker, then do your little peacemaker thing, right? But like you're saying, just don't be vanilla. Like, don't.
Well, I mean, I'm not like,
Everybody else.
Yeah, and for me, you've seen my stuff. I'm not out there just picking fights for the sake of it. I'm going to take a stand. You know my stand on COVID masks and all that other stuff. No offense, I'm in Canada. I'm watching from the sidelines, but I think a lot of your governors who happen to be Democratic governors aren't very democratic.
You're a socialist. You should be loving these guys. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm not a socialist, and I get attacked. When I say anything pro-capitalist, I get a bunch of coaches. And actually, true story, a few years back when Fidel Castro died, I put up a anti-Castro post. I spent my whole weekend fighting with communist sympathizers on my Facebook, and a lot of them were in business. I'm like, geez, I didn't think this would have been a controversial post. A lot of them were like, we would be lucky to have a leader like Fidel Castro. I'm like, yeah, he shot people who didn't agree with him, but hey, you know, teach your own. And so I look, when it comes to political stuff, at what's going on in your country. And I think I've posted about this before, a lot of people, including too many Americans, crap on your country. Yeah. With it still probably the best country in the world, the American dream and everything, I think is very much alive. But I think too many people attack America and say that it's this horrible hellhole, and which is just crazy. So I've said that before, and I get attacked by people saying that America is the great evil place. Thinking, if you hate your country, why are you still there? Why don't you just leave? Go to Cuba.
We keep telling them, go to Canada, go up there with you, you know.
I've said, well,
many of them wish it. Some of them think here that you're better up in Canada. They're like, oh, if we could just be like Canada, it would be so much better. Healthcare.
Oh, we have free healthcare. They say it's not free, you know, but they say it's free, but look at the taxes. But this COVID thing is, I've been very disappointed with the reaction of a lot of politicians, but also entrepreneurs who I think should know better, who are just blindly following CNN or what the politicians say. And yeah, so I'm not afraid to say that. Anyone following my stuff can tell that I think half the world's gone nuts, and I appreciate the people who speak their mind on different issues and don't just parrot CNN's narrative or the government's narrative, actually think for themselves with it. And if life's short, speak your mind. If people don't want to do business with you because of it, that's their loss.
Yeah. Have you seen the cost? Because I know polarizing has been a thing that people get concerned, like, yeah, but what if I drive people away that might have hired me anyways? What do you say to the people that say that?
Well, I wouldn't work well with real hardline socialists or communists anyways. So yeah, I mean,
that's Star Wars. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. We could do the whole Han shot first or did he not shoot first and polarize that way.
Right.
I'm sure I've lost business from it, but I've gained a lot more from people that are like, yeah, Mark, I appreciate your candor. Good example, a lot of my clients are female coaches. And the reason that they tell me they've hired me or they've purchased one of my programs is they're tired of the, I'm trying to think the right word to say, with a very feminine language, like, hey, girlies, hey, beautifuls, hey, lovely, do you want to manifest your ultimate blah, 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 and talk about vibration, stuff like that. Me, it's very much more meat and potatoes and more masculine type thing. You know me, Chris, if I came out with my emails tomorrow and I said, hey, girlies, you, ready to.
Hey, boss babe.
Yeah, boss babe, you know, yeah. stuff. And all the power of somebody talks to that, that's just not me.
Yeah.
But I've had female coaches tell me that's why they hired me, because they're tired of the boss bitch babe.
Right.
Fairy godmother type language or whatever, the fluffy language, and they just want just the facts, ma'am, you know, meat and potatoes and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that's a good example of, I might think, oh gee, I'm scaring away a lot of female coaches the way that I'm talking, but actually it's drawn the right ones in with it. So,
and I've noticed that too. The more authentic, especially when I went through a divorce, right, like that's when I really started to say, who would I want to work with? I'm just going to be me, you know, and just not be who I think people want me to be. And that's exactly when my business exploded. Like, I just ran the numbers last 5 years, I've 10x the revenue, over 15x the profit. That's like, dang, like that's
probably why wasn't this age, before?
Is that?
It probably comes from age. The older you get, the less you care. For me, the closure of the real estate business really helped, because I burnt so many bridges and had so many enemies. I'm like, well, I'm not going to be loved by everyone anyway, so screw it. Let's go. Before that happened, I remember for 10 years, I had agents telling me, one in particular said, Mark, it's amazing. I've never heard anyone say a bad thing about you. Now, I'm sure people did, you know, behind closed doors, but I was doing hundreds of deals a year, had a really big business with my team too. And his point was, wow, I don't hear bad things about you. And at the time, I thought it was a compliment. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Now looking back, I'm like, no, that's not a good thing, because if people aren't saying bad stuff about me, I'm not ruffling feathers. Am I negotiating hard enough for my clients when I was an agent and so on? So when the business closed, it was a liberating in a lot of ways for me, because I thought, I think a lot of human nature, it changed how I feel about humans, because some of the people I think I treated the best turned on me in an instant when the gravy train stopped. Not saying I'm perfect, by the way, but I would definitely change things. But I said, well, okay, screw it. I've gone through a business closure and I've been dropped off some Christmas card lists. So no more playing Mr.
Here
nice
you go, stuff. Already got squished. So what do you have to lose, right?
I'm just going to say what I think. So, and now like I had hate mail from people who don't even know me from the podcast once I launched it about certain stuff. And I take a very mocking, sarcastic tone. I usually don't answer hate mail, but sometimes I'll use it as fodder for emails or social media posts, or I'll say, hey, would you like, we're looking for president of the Natural Born Coaches fan club. You interested? Sounds like you're really into it.
That's awesome. So it seems like if we sum it up, I mean, one, it's be you, be authentic, right? In your authentic voice. Two is really giving them the meat and potatoes, not just, you know, the high promises of fluff, because people want something real. And then three is really being able to communicate, you know, communicate well, communicate often, to really get that message across and help them to know who you really are and whether you're the right fit for them or not, and vice versa.
Yeah, you're not going to grow your business if your business plan is regurgitating motivational quotes. As much as I love quotes, good quotes, that's not a good business plan. And some people have said to me, Mark, I don't know what else I could do. I'm posting 10 times a day on my Facebook. I look down their wall, it's like Zig Ziglar quotes, Oprah Winfrey, Tony Robbins.
They're sharing everybody else's stuff.
Nothing from them. So the rule of thumb, which I'll leave your people with, is something I call the last 10 test that I do with my clients and I watch for myself. Look at the last 10 posts on your favorite social media platform. So say Facebook, look at your last 10 posts. At least 7, but preferably 8 should be your own stuff. So you can have a few in there if you want to share a Gary Vaynerchuk video or Tim Ferriss or something, but it shouldn't be flipped. And a lot of people are flipped where they're sharing 7 or 8 posts with other people's words and just a couple of their own, if that.
Right.
So I say do the last 10 tests, do it right now. Take a scroll through and make sure that you're actually saying enough stuff in your own words and not just promoting other people.
Amen to that. Well, Mark, I appreciate your time, and this has been good, good nuggets. And I know I learned a lot just for myself too, you know?
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Well, I might not be allowed in Utah after I criticize some state's response to COVID.
But we can't go over there anyways, so we're stuck. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm banned from California, but Florida will take me.
No, I would take Florida too. Awesome. Hey, if people want to follow you or get more of your stuff, what would they do?
You can check out the Facebook group at thecoachingjungle.com. There's almost 20,000 people in there, including yourself. So thank you. So thecoachingjungle.com, or you can go to naturalborncoaches.com. I have close to 700 episodes of the podcast. We've covered pretty much every topic imaginable for coaches. So that's naturalborncoaches.com.
Awesome. Well, guys, definitely check that out, naturalborncoaches.com, as well as the Coaching Jungle on Facebook or thecoachingjungle.com. Mark, appreciate your time. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
So everybody else, hey, take this step to heart. It's not about just being a hearer of the word. It's about being a doer as well. So go apply something from here. Make your life better. Make a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.